Welcome back to ILTA Voices, your home for all things ILTA.
Welcome to this ILTA podcast interview. I'm Bill Bice. I'm the CEO at NQ ZebraWorks, and I am here with Kelly. Kelly, can you introduce yourself?
Sure. First, thanks for having me, Bill. My name is Kelly Whitnall. I am the Director of Firm Intelligence at Troutman Pepper.
I am psyched about the conversation we're going to have about data debt. I don't know why, but I get excited about data debt because I think it's underappreciated. Everybody talks about technology debt, but we have this other really important thing, which is data debt. So what is data debt? How does it affect your firm? How does it affect law firms?
To me, data debt, it's all of that, let's just call it stuff that accumulates when we make these really short-term decisions about our data, right? We need data, we don't have it. Our data, I like to call it the three C's, right? Our data isn't cleaned, it isn't cataloged, and it isn't categorized. The data debt is, when we are delaying that data cleaning, the data management, governance, really, we're making short-term decisions about data, and what we end up with is, right, and I think it touches all of us, which is why it's ignored. Unlike financial debt, beyond me, it results in incomplete data, inaccurate data, data that's not standardized. Usually there's a real lack of documentation or inadequate documentation. Data debt also includes really just lack of data infrastructure governance. I think, it leads to poor decision-making, of course. It leads to increased cost, both cost, I think in terms of dollars, but also time. What's that people time that we're losing when we are constantly when we're constantly in this reactive state of cleaning up data, of capturing data. And then there's always risks, right? Are there regulatory compliance issues? Are there internal concerns? We're all concerned about privacy nowadays. So in my mind, data debt is just all of that annoying stuff that you feel like you have to do every time. We call them dumpster fires. But anytime there's a data dumpster fire, that data debt is all of those things that you're constantly using.
I'm getting the feeling that you're a pro at making the argument for why you've got to tackle this.
I am a pro. My personal philosophy is I won't be cleaning up data for the rest of my career. Like, how do we improve it at its core?
Yeah. So you talk about a data ecosystem and how that can transform the way firms operate, how you make decisions. What do you mean by that?
Sure. So, back to the idea of like, how do we do long-term decisions with our data versus short-term? I believe that good data systems, good data ecosystems, they're something that are always evolving and growing because they need to be a reflection of our users and our users' needs. Good data ecosystems, I believe, it's essentially collaboration and crowdsourcing, I think in its most core element. When I talk to stakeholders or I'm trying to convince somebody to participate in this, right? A data ecosystem is something everybody participates in. We all feed to, we all draw from it. I always tell people like, my goal is to capture information one time from one place or one person, capture that information proactively as much as possible, and then share it widely. Of course, within any of our firm standards or expectations, but in my mind, it is, breaking down those data silos. So how do we break down those internal data silos? I can confidently say that everybody's dealing with this. How do we get that information to talk to each other, right? What does that taxonomy look like? What does that integration look like? What is that language? How are we categorizing? How are we bringing it into one place, right? Is that master data, a data lake, when we bring all that info, is that leveraging technology to integrate information? What you have to do is you have to get the information you have, figure out how it talks together, constantly updating, kind of revising our language, our technology. How do we structure it, right? How do we bring together that data that we have, and then how do we enrich it, right? How do we know that that information we capture at day one for a person is structured correctly at day, 500 for a person? How do we really consider the life cycle, whether it be a client, a matter, a contact, a prospect, firm personnel? How do we really treat that holistically, both in terms of what data we have, what data we need? And then, I think kind of gone, I hope we are all working towards a place where we don't need teams of data stewards, right? How do we leverage technology? Is that leveraging technology to bring that data together so we're all being more efficient? Is it leveraging technology or existing good process? Are we improving processes in a way that allow us to mine information using AI? Do we have good legal work practices in place to help us gather that information? And again, it's about breaking down data silos, whether that's the daily conversations we're having, whether that's two systems talking in the short term, really understanding on a large scale what you need to
You know, I find it
truly.
really interesting that you bring in technology and that long list of things. It was at the end, right? I'm a technologist. I tend to look at this as a technology problem. But I think you're going to say that, like, the skill set needed to tackle this, it's not so much about the technology. I mean, you need technology, but what do you really need? What are the things that help you break down those data silos?
So, and Bill, I think you touched on it right there. I came into Troutman about 7 years ago to launch an experience platform. And I came in and I'm like, hey, this is so much more than just a repository for matter narrative. What this is a data system, right? So, how do we transform the thinking of a firm from, here's a MarTech tool, here's this, how do we manage our data? And what I found is coming in, the assumptions were it's about technical skills, it's about IT skills. And what Troutman really looked to do was sort of build a layer sort of oversight in between the technical people and the end user, right? I think at its core, one of the core skills, one of the things I think it's overlooked the most is it's so much about relationships. You build relationships, you build trust. You're going to come to a situation where people are very protective of their data. They're protective for good reasons, right? Bad data decisions leave PTSD. I personally am a victim of that. So for me, it was really coming in, getting people that can build those relationships and build that trust. Because a lot of times it comes down to reciprocity, right? You're more willing to do things for people you like, for people you have that trust and relationship with. So, for me, one of the biggest skills, definitely, that ability to sort of build relationships both between business owners as well as your technical support. I also, if I'm staffing for a team, and this was years to get to sort of this list of skills. My thinking has evolved. It evolves every day when it comes to this. So I want someone very customer service oriented, right? Someone very empathic. They can really put themselves in the shoes of the end user, whether that's looking at the way a platform renders to an end user, or what does that data collection process look like for an end user? How do you think, really being able to understand, end users. This leads to better customer service. I also look for people that are teachers, right? Who's someone who's a natural teacher? And I hate to say this, and I'll deny that I said this, but I always tell my team, pretend you're explaining it to a sixth grader, right? The nuance of the data tool that you own and the data, it is not known to them, right? you really can put yourself in that user's shoes and communicate to them. Because I think a lot of the trust and the relationships that you build, it comes back to a lot of times being able to educate people, right? I think a lot of times we have people in data steward positions that were inappropriately put there. They ended up there. They're managing data they don't understand, they don't use. And how do you really connect those dots? Because if we're going back to this idea of the collaborative data system, data ecosystem, it's everybody working together. I look for people that are naturally curious. I want someone, in these types of roles, I think you have to find people or develop people who understand enough about the technology. They understand enough about the business need. And then they also understand enough about the industry, and that's sweeping. In our firm, we have 20 plus practice groups. There's some natural curiosity to kind of figure out the who, the what, and the why. I also look for people who are efficient. I used to call this lazy, right? So much I think about good data ecosystems or process improvement, and that people that are constantly looking at what they're given and questioning it. Hey, I know there's a better way. Like half of my Excel skills are me looking at Excel, seeing all the buttons, and it seems something so basic to me. Like there has to be a better way. Are you naturally curious enough to go out and find? I think also you need someone who can, they can see the forest, but they can also see the trees. I think there is sort of a natural inclination to look at a complex process or a complex system, complex taxonomy, and really be able to break it down into its elements, into those categories, those personas, those use cases. We call them unicorns here. You're really looking for someone that knows enough to be dangerous about a lot of things. For me, as I'm sure nobody on this pod listening to this podcast can tell, I believe in being bold, getting out there, asking the questions, really getting involved. I think it adds, the people with these kinds of attributes, these kinds of qualities are the ones that I see succeeding and really, moving up, not only at our firm, but, in the industry in general.
Yeah, it makes you valuable for so many things. You do know this is being recorded, right? We're gonna share this. But you made a couple of points there that I really like, which is if it's taking a lot of hard work, then that means you're probably missing opportunities for automation. So like there's a positive side to being lazy. And you're really describing a lot of soft skills that are necessary to do this data work well.
And that's where I really think the shift is. I mean, if you had asked me this question 6 years ago, we very much were looking for certain types of industry experience, certain types of this. Are we looking for paralegals, LPAs? This is really an emerging, field. These are new roles. And again, I'm surprising myself. Yeah, I think you're right on the soft skills part of it, and it's the part that, I think very few people sort of make that connection early on. The assumption's always on the technical side, the more harder skills. And I find, like, why force your technical people into those roles, right? We're talking about requirements gathering. We're talking about, system design. We're talking about end user experience. Like, we all need to identify, our strengths and speak to them. And so I think, and at Troutman, this has been, pretty successful. We've started as a team of one. We're about a team of eight now. So, it's working for us, I guess, is what I could say, Bill.
Well, that clearly demonstrates that the firm is seeing value in the investment that you're making in order to grow the team that way.
Well, and I think it's that spirit of collaboration, right? That spirit of evolution, that spirit of innovation. Firms that I think truly, move the needle on that are. They believe that on every level, whether it's the people you're investing in, the systems, the data sources. Yeah, it's not just a collaborative ecosystem, it's hopefully a data ecosystem, it's a collaborative culture, right? A culture where it's okay to test things out. They work, they don't work, we learn from it, we iterate, we improve on it. So I've been very fortunate to be at a firm that sees that invests in it. And not everybody's so lucky. And I think they also, there's a lot of opportunity for people to come in and kind of build those functions, right? I don't know that I didn't see this job as expanding the way it did, but when you're efficient, lazy, I'm constantly, how do we do this better? How do we do this better? And it is a lot of pivoting.
I also like what you said about simplification. I mean, we're operating in a sophisticated area of technology, in a very sophisticated profession in legal, and yet there's so much value. And like, the easier we make this, the easier it is for everybody to understand and participate. So I want to circle back to really where you started, which is this balance between achieving the short-term objective that you've got to have, and the long-term focus for how you achieve the bigger goal. So how do you balance those two?
I think so much of it, at the core of it, it's collaboration and it's communication, right? It's identifying those things that we're already doing. A lot of times I think to people that own data systems, data processes, little improvements can have large downstream effects, right? So what are we already doing? What are we already achieving? That becomes part of that dialogue. It becomes part of that communication, right? Here's the way, here's an accomplishment, here's something that we accomplished, and here's how it benefits.
Smaller wins that show the bigger picture.
As you're working towards the bigger picture, right? Like, there's always going to be these large scale, right? Comprehensive data governance, data dictionaries. What does oversight and accountability look like? It's really, I think, identifying those small wins. Those small wins, of course, are coming out of collaboration. So we're building this culture, we're making these small wins, also with the eye on what are the larger things. We started a group here at the firm where we've identified, different data types and different data functions. And data functions really being the long term. So data types, how are we improving people data? And I think what we found out is we're doing a lot that we're not communicating. I also think, and I hate to say it this way, but it's almost like lowering your expectations of what a win is, right? The data people, the technology people, small things don't feel big, while they are. And you learn this by talking to people, building those relationships, those collaborations. It's so much about communication and collaboration and getting the right people in the right room at the right time. And I think it's also, it's how do you position yourself politically, right? You're talking about, I'm not coming in trying to say I want to own all of this data. I just want us all to work together, right? I'm not trying to centralize functions. I'm trying to say, I want these two groups to talk more. So, as well, building relationships is really being a facilitator, I feel like, a lot of the time, and just helping sort of guide it, especially us and some of us at bigger firms with bigger teams, more specialists, let's just,
Yeah, I love that
so
phrase, because you get that feeling of people have the sense of ownership over the data. They're afraid of things messing it up, and you're coming and saying, well, we're not trying to centralize the decision making or the process, or we're just trying to make the data more accessible to everybody.
exactly. And I have seen there is, I mean, a noticeable shift when you just, so much of it is just reframing the conversation, I think. And when you come in with that open spirit, I found people are more willing to work with you, be more willing to participate and really stand out. So, like, again, it's just like coming back to this idea, but at the core, what is your culture like? Like, we want to make it collaborative, open, innovative, just simply talking to each other a lot of the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Kelly, thank you. This has been a great conversation. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much, Bill. Feel free to reach out anybody if they have questions. That's probably dangerous to say, but it's been a lot of fun.
That could be the worst thing that happens is people have questions.
Right. Thank
Thanks, Kelly.
you.